You're listening to Lorna Parker here on WLR, to Moss McCarthy here till 7 o'clock. While Waterford's Championship hopes hang in the balance ahead of Sunday's trip to Clare, Derek McGrath is here in studio to preview the biggest hurling weekend so far. We'll also hear from Daoiseach Camogie captain Lorraine Bray ahead of their Championship opener against Dublin, and Waterford football boss Aoife Fitzgerald will talk about their Tailteann Cup clash with Wicklow.
Scoops it back. Luke Mead gets the ball away. Darragh Fitzgibbon, he's been quiet, but that's a dangerous thing to say when Cork run full flight. Flicks the ball away to Robbie O'Flynn. Goal on here. Robbie takes the job. Save, but better than it. Alan Connolly backs it in the back of the net. Sean O'Brien got the save, but like all good corner forwards, Connolly, the instinct of Black Rock men, bangs it in the back of the net. 21 and a half minutes. Shocker for Waterford. Scoops the ball in low to Desi. Desi down under the scoreboard. What's he going to do with it? Trying to make room for himself. Steadies himself. Blocked down. Gets it on the next attempt. Still holding that ball. What option has he? The option is Patrick Curran. Patrick inside the 20. Takes his shot. Saved by Collins. Kylie with the ball. A goal! Curran with the shot. Collins with the save. And the Irish sideman bangs it into the back of the net. To the roar of approval of the huge Waterford crowd at the City End. We wanted a good response. Kylie has given it to us. Farnley gets the ball away. Kingston with a shot. Kingston leaves the ball across to Connolly. Number two for the Black Rock men. Kingston involved, but the man who finishes. Number two for Connolly. Number two for Cork. They go 4 points up.
Yes, what a difference 70 minutes makes. Kieran O'Connor there describing Cork's win over Waterford in Welsh Park last Sunday. Liam Cahill now needs a favour from his native county Tipperary if Waterford are to stay in this year's championship. Clare versus Waterford will be our George Corbett scored a big match on Sunday. Kieran will be joined in the commentary box by Michael Ryan and coverage starts at 3.45. Well, to preview a make or break weekend in the Hurling Championship, I'm joined in studio by Derek McGrath. And Derek, an easy one to start with, the question that all Daoiseach fans have been asking this week: what happened in Welsh Park last Sunday?
Yeah, well, look, I think a bit of perspective first of all is needed on generally, you know, and Liam would say it himself, people tend to overreact at underperformance and overreact to overperformances as well, if you like. So look, if you take a wider lens to the whole thing, you know, Waterford performed really well, I felt, against Tipperary in the first game. You know, a highly motivated Tipperary team took all they could, you know, on board and were able to, you know, manufacture a win, I suppose. Up until last Sunday's game between Limerick and Clare, I felt that the Limerick-Waterford game was the match of the season in terms of the standard, in terms of the intensity. And then you arrive into Welsh Park on the back of maybe 3 weeks' preparation and you underperform. There's a flatness there. And it's very simply put, Tomás, in that these things happen in high-level sport. You know, you have a highly motivated, good Cork team that are written off, you know, in the run-up to the game, are widely touted as being kind of, you know, a team that will probably not win a match, and then they produce a performance, you know, a worthy winners on the day. So, you know, it's not a case. If you want to analyse it kind of tactically, we can do that in a few minutes. But I think initially you're looking at a highly motivated Waterford team that just arrived flat, which can happen in any sporting realms, you know, and it just goes to show the cutthroat nature of the round robin, and that the fate has now been taken out of our hands, if you like, ahead of the weekend. So it's, you know, people are listening in, they're probably looking for a colder analysis of it, you know, and I mean, as I said, we may get into that, but I think initially, as I said, you have a very well-run management team, a very well-run United team, that didn't perform as well as they would have liked last Sunday.
Yeah, let's dive into the tactical side of it, Derek. What issues do Waterford need to fix over the next 7 days for Ennis?
Yeah, look, personnel, I'm not so sure. Like, obviously, they've been, you know, a hammer blow with the loss of Ciara Daly in terms of the, you know, he's proving a fairly substantial loss now, given the flexibility that he presented, particularly in Limerick tonight, where he was able to go full back. And he was, you know, so he gives a kind of an adaptability perhaps that's not as evident now off the bench. So, look, I think some parts of the game, when you're chasing a game, and the theory, I suppose, is to push up more than anything, I found that, watching it back, I just watched it behind the goal there yesterday, from behind the goal, and sometimes I think the defensive shape that we had, the defensive alignment that we would have normally, which would see, we say that Tighe sitting and a half back line sitting in general, and a wall of Waterford players that would I would call a cordon back in in my day, I suppose, or back in the day, you know, that cordon of players that would include your half forward line, and maybe one from the full forward line and midfield. Probably was, I won't say it wasn't as evident, but, you know, both, we'd say Jack Fagan and Caleb Lyons are brilliant at attacking wingbacks. And there was just times I felt, just looking back on it, that even on the Cork, on our own puck out, when Cork pressed on the puck out, we'll say Cork were still able to press on the puck out, were still able to filter back the field after the puck out was hit. And we had a slight tendency to probably follow out the pitch and get sucked out the pitch. So I think you'll see the defenders keeping and holding their line. You know, I saw Tuigan at one stage, 39 minutes in, you know, just kind of not pleading with his halfbacks, but just talking, you know, about holding the line, I suppose. And if you want to hold the line, I suppose, you need your midfield to be defensively well kind of set up, your half forward and to be well set up. So it becomes a kind of a double jobbing kind of battle between your half forwards and the opposing half forwards. So I think what Cork did really well, to be fair to Cork, was you saw Robbie O'Flynn, you saw Shane Kingston, you saw even Lahan from the corner travel to the landing zone, if you like, for want of a better expression, wherever Sean O'Brien was poking the ball, the Cork forwards were filtering back, and the Waterford backs were with them, so with the result that if they turned it over, Cork were running into grass, you know, and Tighe's positioning then became a redundant figure because of the fact that he had so much grass to cover left and right of him. And Welsh Park became a big pitch for Cork and an actual small pitch for Waterford, if that makes sense. But that's happened. It's happened to me loads of times, you know, and it's sometimes it's actually boundless enthusiasm on the part of your backs that want to influence the game, to get on ball, to make things happen. And when you're in a panic-stricken situation, that's what can arise, and you look isolated, and Conor Prunty and Conor Gleeson look isolated in a bit of space. Even in the first half, listening to the commentary of the match, you know, there seemed opportunities for Cork to play ball into two-on-two situations with Alan Connolly and Patrick Horgan against Conor Prunty and Conor Gleeson at times, you know, and so I think they'll look at the realignment, but the realignment will, and the shape will probably be dependent on how deep the forwards and how workmanlike the forwards are. And I think you'll see a lot more energy in Ennis on Sunday.
In terms of realignment, Derek, what changes in personnel do you see for Sunday?
Hard to know, you know, like rumour mill is in full flow, you know, and when you're an ex-manager, Tomás, generally you don't kind of, we've Mikey Manny in teaching with us, you know, and in subbing with us when Philip is in there, and we've fellas that are probably attached to the lads, you don't tend to ask questions as regards realignment. You know, generally people would say, you know, Mark Fitzgerald's name seems to be popping into kind of conversations or certainly around the context of
would you stick him into a game like this, Derek? Mark Fitzgerald,
well, see very hard. If you take the overall context of the game, Tomás, we're still dependent on the result in Thurles. So, you know, what are you looking for? There was clear anger at the performance last Sunday, so you're looking for an angry Waterford team channeling that hurt and disappointment and not even thinking about what's happening in Thurles to a certain extent, you know, and so two things could arise then. You get a brilliant performance against Clare, and you take that brilliant performance, you take the third place on the back of Tipperary winning, and you take that brilliant performance and you become this unbelievably dangerous team as the third place qualifier. You play the Joe McDonagh winners, you play the Leinster final losers, and you say to yourself, this is opening up nicely to it for us now, because third place is actually very, very, you can be off Broadway, as I call it in the Examiner tomorrow, you can be off Broadway for a few weeks. Joe McDonagh, as I said, winners, nice warm-up game, if you like, for Leinster final losers. And subsequently then, if Clare were to lose the Leinster semi-final, I think we'd end up playing Limerick, or lost the Munster final, we'd end up playing Limerick by virtue of the fact that Clare's next game couldn't be against Limerick. I have it all worked out here, Tomás. But yeah, you know, no, but I'm just, you know, that's the optimist in me. The other one is to play brilliantly or play poorly and still qualify. You know, we'd actually giving the guys a couple of exposure to it, where that person does well, or those four or five newbies do well. You know, will there be? I don't think there'll be an overreaction, you know, to an underperformance. I think it'll be like, look, lads, we didn't do ourselves justice. Let's rightify this situation. Which, in fairness to Cork, you know, Cork would have called for wholesale changes from the outside in over the last few weeks, and they've steadied it on the back of this really largely the same personnel as such. You know, maybe a couple of tactical changes in Tim O'Mahony's appearance in the forwards and things like that, but largely it's been the same team that have had horrific kind of performances against Tip or against Limerick and against Clare that have kind of, well, initially steadied it anyway, you know.
While we're on the subject of team selection, Derek, if you were in Brian Lohan's shoes, knowing that you're going in to a Munster final against Limerick, no matter what the result on Sunday, would you rest key players or go to your strongest 15?
Well, again, I'll answer it as truthfully as possible and try and put on a manager's hat, right? So, first of all, there's 2 weeks, you know, a gap, so which is a significant gap between... So there's a couple of things to consider for Brian Lowen. There's the momentum versus the kind of, you know, the cuteness that you can do. So, like, you take the cuteness of John Kiely last Sunday, where he can actually, knowing what's after happening, he can leave John Kiely, and I saw a picture of Gillan and... he can leave Gillan, Peter Casey, and obviously he's not back yet, and Keane Lynch, and he can leave a few off, like Darragh Donovan. He can do that, right? He can do that. He's three All-Irelands, you know, so he can do that, you know? Brian Lowen is... I'm not saying he's building a team, because the team are very experienced. So you take confidence players like David Fitzgerald, that's currently going really well with Clare. You take John Conlon, who's negotiating the position of centre-back. You take Peter Duggan, who's only come back from Australia. You take Shane O'Donnell, who's only coming back from a concussion. You take Tony Kelly, who's only come back from injury. Do they need the flow of another game, you know, as opposed to a rest? You know, speaking with a Waterford hat on, you're hoping that Tony Kelly is left off. You know, you're speaking purely from a... But speaking as a manager, you might say momentum, good exposure to the game. Let's book the trend here. You know, the trend would be, or rest up your big players. You know, the enthusiasm and the bounce for Clare might come from 10 or 11 of them, plus your Shane Means, your Davey Reedy, your Aaron Shanahurst. That's where I could possibly... You know, if I was to kind of mix and match, maybe, you know, one back, do you rest Rory Hayes on the back of the fact that he's, you know, he's one of the most outstanding cornerbacks in the game at the moment? Do you put Aaron Fitzgerald in there and give him some exposure to that particular level? Do you put in Shane Meehan from the start, Aaron Shanahurst from the start, Davey Reedy from the start, who are top, top class players in their own right? And you know, I think it's kind of a more of a process game than... I think there was real passion evident in Clare's approach last week, and I think it'll be a little bit more process driven this time, with an eye on the Munster final, but still a want to kind of perform and keep a bit of momentum going. So I think you'll see a mix and match, maybe 11 and 4 split, if you like, 4 deputants or 4 newbies, not even newbies, but these are serious players that will be coming in as well, you know.
You've been on the sideline with Waterford in Cusack Park, Derek, both in league and in championship as well. Why is it so hard to get a result in Ennis?
Well, I think this is kind of almost this preconceived notion that it's hard anyway, which that's backed up by statistical evidence. You know, I remember Michael Ryan going down there in one of the first league games, getting a brilliant victory. We got a brilliant victory down there in 17 in the league, but we were beaten comprehensively in 18 in the championship down there. So it's just difficult. I think there's a... You know, Clare really get behind their team first and foremost. Their supporters are very much at one with their team, as Waterford supporters are, but they really kind of... And they've really latched on to the, I think there was general consensus over the last 2 years was that there was kind of, you know, a kind of feeling permeating its way around Clare GA circles that things weren't right, etc. So when Lowen stepped up to the mantle, there was this feeling that we'll support him no matter what. So I think there's kind of that authentic link between the Clare people and Lowen himself. And I think that's very evident, you know. And there's also the fact that, no more than myself, I suppose, the general consensus was Waterford and Limerick, good bit ahead of the rest. And the rest of the teams then can prepare in a manner that's completely under the radar. And if you really analyse it, I just looking at the 2018 semi-final against Galway that Clare played, I think there was 12 players that are going to be possibly involved Sunday, still involved, that should arguably have beaten Galway in that replay, you know, in that draw match in the semi-final of 18 and in the replay in Thurles in 18. So it's a very experienced team with All-Ireland medal winners, with National League winners, and, you know, a very potent forward line with the perfect return of O'Donnell and Duggan that give them a completely different dimension. So the field, to answer your question, the field, the pitch, I can't put my finger on what it is, but look, Clare have really, really good players.
Another really good player is Austin Gleeson. Derek, he was sent off for the second time this season last Sunday. Some felt it was deserved, the 2 yellow. Some felt it was harsh. What side did the argument do you fall down on?
Yeah, I probably agreed with the concept put forward by Shane Downing. I watched it last Sunday night. I was away last weekend, so I only saw the match. So I just, which is to kind of say that, you know, I felt it was harsh overall. And even looking at the genuineness, the real genuineness of Austin's reaction, you know, on TV, I suppose, just to the whole thing. And again, it's very hard, even I looked at the behind the goal footage last night, very hard to see, it looked like some cleverness on Rob Downey's part to kind of engage in behaviours that were kind of I'm not on the yellow, he's on the yellow, you know, without you know, not being premeditated, but kind of saying, you know, this could work out for us, if you like. So I think Austin has been a victim of that type of cajoling and that type of kind of, you know, sucking in, if you like. So look, the first one, definite yellow card, late tackle on Mark Coleman. I'm thinking, if I'm Austin, I just pull out slightly out of the tackle and leave Mark Coleman hit into me, and their decision make the decisions that, you know, I'm sure he'll make going forward. So, and again in the car coming out here, I was saying, right, he asked me about Austin. You know, I was saying to myself, and I was saying his approach for Sunday, you know, to kind of harness that kind of the meanness that he has in his play, and I mean that with the greatest respect, you know, that kind of vicious discipline, you know, and again, anyone listening to that might misinterpret that as kind of, you know, something else. I'm talking about Austin being right on the edge, which where he's at his best, and channeling that as he did in you know, in lots of the league games, in the Limerick game, you know, where he 21, 22 minutes, I don't think he'd been involved in the play, then all of a sudden he's flowing, you know, because he's so important to us. So I think you'll see a big Austin performance at the weekend. He's, you know, he's a good lad, and he'll be able to refocus.
Yeah, Liam Kelly will be looking for a big Austin performance and a big Waterford performance, Derek. But as he touched on earlier, it's out of Waterford's hands. They need a favour from Tipperary. Will they get it?
Well, again, there's a couple of things going on in my head ahead of that, right? So there's, and again, maybe I'm clinging now to you know, I'm thinking to myself, right, the motivation of Cork and the physical approach of Cork and the physical commitment of Cork to the game last Sunday, you know, I'm not sure can it be, you know, can they get up as high as they were again. Now, against that, the fillip for them is massive. If they win, they're in the third place. And I've already spoken about the merits of that third place finish. You know, it's actually a nice spot to be in. So I'm thinking, you know, and then I'm thinking, if you're Kieran Kingston, do you go with Tim O'Mahony from the start? Do you change it up slightly? Do you go with, you know, do you keep Horgan and get the scoreboard ticking, etc.? And then
does maybe Kieran Kingston go with his own son?
Yeah, well, I think he has to. With Shane, I think he has to. You know, I think he can't leave both Shane and Tim O'Mahony on the bench. I think it's an almost post All Ireland semi final moment last year ahead of the final where I think he has to go with Shane. The one realization that I would say, if I'm a Cork player, I'm saying what works best for us. Going back the field in the manner that Waterford have done over a number of years and Limerick do consistently works for Cork as well. They need that same work ethic that they had last Sunday. So I think that would be kind of a moment for them. So that's where I get a little bit of doubt about Cork. I think, can they persistently kind of produce? The interesting thing about Tip is I look at Tip against Limerick and I'm looking at this team that are forcefully kind of showing how much pride they have in their approach. Like, I hear Noel McGrath afterwards talking hugely emotionally about, we're from Tipperary and we're very proud people and I've never been as proud to be associated with teams. Paul Igmar echoes that with a kind of, I think, on Twitter, with disappointed with the crowd. So I think, you know, is Colin Bonner saying this week, look lads, there's still a glimmer of hope for us here, like a 7-point victory and a substantial, you know, defeat for Waterford, you know, and the goal difference perhaps, or the goal difference perhaps changes some way. So that's where my hope lays in the fact that Tipperary have a lot of good players that are either looking at the glimmer of hope at the end of the season and something that will sustain them for the beginning of next season, if that makes sense. And, you know, I always, you know, my hope is that with 5 minutes to go, you're going to hear tip, 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 and I've never probably wanted to hear that sound before, if I'm completely honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even the tip, 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 over the years when I was managing, I heard that, I said, jeez, we're an awful bother here when you're hearing this tip, 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 you know, 10. So I think they have lots of hope. I don't think it's as cut and dried as people think, you know, and it's the irony of Colin Bonner helping Liam Cal, you know, progress into the you know, the final round would be significant as well. You know, a certain irony there, but it'd be brilliant news for us as a Waterford team. And I think it's possible. Is Shamie Callan back available? I'm not so sure yet. You know, if he's back available, maybe for 20 minutes, Jason Ford perhaps available again to add to the kind of confidence that they gained from the Limerick performance. I don't think Tip will want to go a season where they've lost four games. You know, where they like lose to Waterford, lose to Limerick, lose to Clare, lose to Cork. And, you know, my hope lies in the fact that they sometimes playing for pride and the bigger picture can actually free you up. And I think Tip will be quite free at the weekend.
And I'm sure all the Waterford fans will be keeping their fingers crossed for a Tipperary win, Derek, as strange enough as it sounds. On Saturday evening, all the focus will be on Leinster, Kilkenny versus Wexford and Galway versus Dublin, both throwing in at 6 o'clock. Galway already through on 7 points. We have Kilkenny on 6, we have Dublin on 6, and we have Wexford on 4. So who will be the other two teams to advance in Leinster, do you think?
Yeah, it's very hard to go away from probably Galway and, or sorry, Kilkenny and Dublin. I think Kilkenny will beat Wexford, albeit I think Wexford will produce their performance of the year, if that makes sense. You know, I think may even lead at half time and Kilkenny may come again then in the second half. I think Wexford have to produce a performance. You know, they just haven't had that spark. They haven't had that kind of energy that you associate with their team, and they have to have that to be right on point. So they're allowed that flatness, you know, because they're amateur players that turn up and things happen. So I think they will bring spark and energy, but ultimately I don't think it'll be enough. And even though Galway, I expect to beat Dublin, you know, by default, I think Dublin end up qualifying in third. Am I right in saying that? By the fact that Galway will win and Kilkenny will win, and that will put Wexford out. Not just on head-to-head, but I think just on the fact that they've drawn with Westmeath. So that's where I see it going. Even though traditionally, just even reading David Collins' piece in The Independent there today, Galway have struggled with Dublin. You know, they've struggled. I was at a league match, you know, where Galway played Dublin over the years, and Dublin had kind of physically bullied Galway. So I think, look, I expect Galway and Kilkenny to be contesting the Leinster final and Dublin to be playing the Joe McDonagh runners-up in Saturday week, I think, or Sunday week.
And before you go, Derek, we saw you on the sideline with the Laois Minor Hurlers on Monday night. You lost to Offaly in a Leinster final that was attended by 12,500 in O'Moore Park. What was it like to be part of that occasion?
Well, listen, Tomás, when I was involved in Waterford or De La Salle, I used to always say to the boys about, you know, a bit of perspective. You're trying to make a few memories. And one of the best memories I'll ever have in the game was, first of all, the involvement with the Laois Minors, which actually... I've seen me being involved the last couple of years, and I've really, really enjoyed being back involved at a level where there's less expectation, a level where, you know, you're learning yourself from the boys, the players themselves, different culture, different mindset up there, loving the whole involvement up there. And obviously, look, we got a couple of against the head victories against Kilkenny and Wexford. You know, they hadn't beaten Kilkenny for 60 odd years, and ultimately beaten by a really well prepared, really well drilled, really skillful Offaly team. An Offaly team, Tomás, that I actually saw contesting the Tony Forrestal final against Tipperary 3 years ago. They beat our own lads, Waterford, in the semi-final that year. So it's not easy to develop over those 3 years in the manner that Offaly have done. So athletically, physically, tactically, really, really good team. But the bigger picture, I suppose, is the influence of both teams getting to the final, in that they wouldn't be seen as the tier one teams, I suppose, that none of us were in tier one in terms of the competition. Tier one was Dublin, Wexford and Kilkenny. Tier two was Offaly, Laois and Kildare. And for two teams to come from tier two to the final, ultimately is a great story in itself. The issue now for Laois, I suppose, is to you're in a round robin with two massive teams in Galway and Clare, and you're trying to negotiate a way through to winning one of those games or competing in those games. And ultimately, when you're trying to compete, and you're maybe being pummeled in some of the games, it's hard to maintain the optimism that we've created up there over the last couple of months. But full kudos, I suppose, perhaps to Offaly, but more so to the people that came and supported it. It's not often you'd see that type of crowd at a minor, provincial final. And just great for the people of Laois, the people of Offaly especially, I suppose. And kudos, as I said, to everybody involved from both teams, really.
Well, Derek McGrath, always a pleasure to have you in studio. Enjoy the games over the weekend.
Will do. Thanks a million, Tomás.
Now you're hurling. Lorna Porca with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.